is Easter Sunday, and one of the most attended services of the year. I find that Easter and Christmas are very easy times to invite people to church, and so you might maybe be a little nervous in inviting folks. Many people do attend church on Easter, and so let me encourage you to invite folks. And my intent tonight is to look at this passage of Scripture. By God's grace, have God work on all of us, that all of us together would commit between now and Sunday, that we're going to do our best to get people to Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world in which we live. You know, we can listen to the news, and we can, we're not supposed to stress over things, but I tell you this, Jesus is the answer. People need the Lord. And I'm asking the Lord to use this passage in our lives tonight. And then what I want to do at the end of the service, I'm going to do something a little different, preach a little shorter. And I'm going to ask you to give me names. And if you have a pen and paper, we'll all just write down first names of people that we're trying to get to come, people that need to be saved, trying to invite to church. And we're going to take a few minutes, and we're just going to pray for these individuals and ask God to work, all right? Wednesday night, you have more prayer as well, but I kind of wanted to do it while I'm in here tonight with you, and I'm sure Wednesday will continue that prayer emphasis. God hears and God answers prayer. Mark chapter 2, follow along as I begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." The house was packed. Well, I wish that the Lord's house would be packed all across churches, all across the United States of America. People don't see the need for Jesus. But I tell you this, if people sense the presence of the Lord here with us, that's my goal. By God's grace, they'll come back and say, "Hey, that place there, Victory Baptist Church, has the presence of Jesus there." Mm-hmm. Jesus is in the house, and the house is packed. And the Bible says, verse 3, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When he had broken it up, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" They brought a paralytic man to Jesus. Jesus healed him. They were amazed at the work that Jesus could do. I want to share with you tonight some thoughts on the key to getting people to Jesus. The key to getting people to Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the singing, encouraging us, Lord, through the hymns and through the fellowship with one another. Now, Lord, we ask, as we take a few minutes and look at this passage, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to allow you as individuals to speak to our hearts. Lord, you have the words of life. You are what this world needs. And Lord, you have so designed that as your people, it is our job to bring people to Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us afresh and anew to see the importance of this and to allow you to use us in this way. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful story with a happy ending. This man is brought to Jesus and Jesus meets his need. But I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 5, because I want you to see the key to this story. Jesus tells us what the key to this story is. The Bible says in verse number 5 of Mark chapter number 2, when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. What's he referring to? He's referring to the faith of the four individuals that got this man to Jesus that couldn't get to Jesus on his own. Faith is the key to getting people to Jesus. Do you know God wants every one of us to bring people to Jesus? God wants us to invite people to church. God wants us to help people spiritually. God wants us to give people gospel tracts. God wants us to help people to understand, as we have given opportunity, how they can have forgiveness of sins and an eternal life in heaven. But the reality is, the key to bringing people to Jesus is our faith. Whether or not we will believe God. I want to give you three reasons why I think faith is important as we look at this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to see this. Faith marks the condition. Faith marks the condition. Faith sees the condition in individuals around them. Faith doesn't miss out on the needs of people around them. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. There was a point in time when these individuals, obviously it was noise that Jesus was in the house. There was a point in time, though, where these individuals crossed this individual that was sick and that was lying and unable to get to Jesus. There was a time in their lives where they took their eyes off of themselves and they put their eyes on the need of somebody else. And boy, that is so, so important. We have a tendency to focus on our world, to focus on what we're doing. And if we're not careful, days and weeks can go by, and we never see the needs of other people. The Scripture tells us many times when Jesus was moved with compassion as he saw needs. We looked in Matthew chapter 9. We looked at that this morning briefly. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. Jesus was out amongst the multitudes. And when he saw the multitudes, he saw the needs that they had in their life. In Mark chapter, in John chapter number 4, Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes. Say not, yeah, there are 4 months and still the harvest comes. No, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14, the Bible says Jesus was out preaching. And this is a story where he fed 5,000 individuals. Why did he feed 5,000? Probably more than that, because they often just numbered the men, and you got women and children there. He was teaching, and they were there all night, all day. And Jesus saw the need in their life, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion, and his being moved with compassion is what caused him to say, hey, let's feed these people. In Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 34, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion also. If you slide over to Mark chapter number 1, we're in Mark 2. Mark chapter number 1 and verse 40, the Bible says there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. You see, it was Jesus' interaction with people that moved him to compassion, as we see it here on planet Earth, right? The reality is this. If I do not interact with people and see their need. By the way, sometimes one of the best things you can do to get out of the dumps. You ever been in the dumps? You ever been discouraged and down? Oh, my life is so bad. And hey, open your eyes, look around, and see the needs that other people have. And you'll say, hey, you know what? I think I have it pretty good. they're individuals. I'm reading this book, The Voice of the Martyrs. This guy went over there, and he just kept a diary, and he tells you about the different people that he meets. And there was a picture in one of the chapters where there was two men there. And then he tells the story, yeah, the one guy that was smiling, he got shot and killed. And the other guy is taken over. And we think about the persecution that's all in different places. And I tell you this, people have needs. And we've got to be connected, and we've got to recognize that, hey, there's conditions, there's needs in people all around us. But I want you to see, secondly, the Bible says the man was sick of the palsy, verse 3, but he was born of four. So there's four individuals that decided, hey, we can do something about this need. Now I want you to see, secondly, not only does faith mark the condition, faith says, hey, there's somebody that has a need, and there's somebody that has a need, and there's somebody that needs Jesus. And by the way, when we see individuals that have needs, we ought to go home and put their names on our prayer list. There ought to be a number of people on your prayer list that you're praying for that are unsaved. There ought to be a number of people on our prayer list that we're praying for that aren't right with the Lord, that are out of church and aren't where they need to be spiritually. But it doesn't just stop there. I think all of us would agree there's needs in this world. We probably all would agree with that. But I want you to see, secondly, faith not only marks the condition, faith makes the change. God will bring people in our lives that God wants to use us to bring to Jesus. Now, these four individuals had to make some changes in their life, didn't they? They had to be willing to be inconvenienced a little bit. Maybe they were busy. We complain about being busy, more stuff to do. And, you know, you think you're going to live to 200, age 200, because I got so many things to do. By the way, don't let the devil keep you so busy that you don't have time to bring people to Jesus. You see, they had to be inconvenienced. Hey, they had to be willing to say, hey, we're going to do this together. We're going to make changes to get this guy to Jesus. By the way, in the chapter we just read, Mark 1, Jesus heals this guy, verse 42 of Mark 1. And as soon as he spoke, the leprosy departed, verse 43, and he straightly charged him and sent him away. And he said, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much. Now Jesus could have had the leprosy come back, but Jesus isn't like that, right? His love is unconditional. But the reality is, the word is spreading around. And these individuals said, you know what? If we're going to help our guy right here, maybe the four of us can get together and we can bring this guy to Jesus. They were convinced that Jesus would make a difference. And I tell you this, you won't invite anybody to church. You won't pass out any tracts. You won't do any praying for anybody that's lost if you're not convinced that it's going to make a difference. It's easy for us to say, oh, yeah, America and the economy and the government, all the corruption. Oh, what a place we live in. You see the need, but it doesn't stop there. You see, God allows us to see the needs in people's lives so that God can move us. God can change us to say, hey, I'm going to make a difference here. They had to change their priorities a little bit. You know, we think about our outreach. We have outreach on Saturdays. And how many people like to sleep? Everybody likes to sleep, right? And people say, well, I got to sleep all day Saturday. Well, you know what? Chances are you probably don't sleep past. I mean, you might. There might be a few people, a few teenagers that can sleep till the cows come home, as they say. But chances are we don't sleep past 9:30. We start here at 10. And you say, how? Hey, if I'm going to get people to Jesus, then something might have to change. By the way, we get you out, you're done by 11:30-ish or so. You got from 12 noon all the way till midnight if you want. Go to bed at midnight. You got 12 hours to get done whatever you want to get done, all right? But the reality is things have to change a little bit. We have to be saying, hey, if I'm going to meet this need and bring people to Jesus, I'm going to have to change my priorities. I'm going to have to make it a priority. You see, faith, when I believe in and I'm walking and connected to God, what's important to Him is going to be important to me. And so the reality is then, these individuals said, if we can just get this guy to Jesus, he's going to make a difference. And that needs to be our heart cry. That needs to be our burden. It ought to be our burden on a weekly basis. Lord, this week, I have to work my job and I have to do this and do that. But Lord, this week, would you give me somebody that I can point to Jesus? You know, we kids sometimes, we all want to hear the trumpet sound and we want to go up there, right? Maybe you will be that person that will lead that last person to Christ and the trumpet will sound, all right? So don't miss out on that opportunity. Maybe you're holding back the trumpet. I'm just kidding. But the reality is, at some point, somebody will. Somebody will get saved, the trumpet will sound, and faith sees the conditions of individuals. We see people through the eyes of God. Faith says, hey, I can trust God to make changes in my life. I read about a story in Alaska, and it was dark there in Alaska, and there was a plane trying to come in. I think this was in 2022, maybe 2020s, maybe 2020s it was. There was a plane trying to come in. There was a child that needed to go to the hospital, and it was kind of a remote area in Alaska there. And normally the plane could turn the lights on to this airstrip, but it didn't work. And the plane communicated with those people that were at the airstrip, and they couldn't get the lights to turn on either. And so someone real close figured out what was happening, and that someone made a bunch of phone calls real quick. And it was neat to see the community come around in their vehicles, and the community put on their headlights on these cars, and this plane was able to land, pick up the child, and take off because a bunch of people in the community got together and let their light shine. And Easter Sunday is a week away, and as a community, here we all are, and God wants us to let our light shine, to work together. These four guys had to work together to get this guy to Jesus. Great picture of what God wants us to do. But it's going to take faith. We're going to have to say, hey, what God wants is more important than I want. And that's why I want you to see the third truth here. And that is this. Faith, number three, masters the challenge. Faith says, hey, I am going to win over the challenges that get in my way. These four guys get this guy to Jesus, and the house is full. They can't get in. Nobody's given up their seat. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd give up my seat either if I was right there on the front row with Jesus. And the reality is, they don't just go home and say, see, I told you so. I told you this wasn't going to work. Sometimes God's people will do that. Obstacle comes in. You say, I'm going to talk to my co-worker, and they resist it. You say, well, I knew this wasn't going to work. That's unbelief. You see, faith says, you know what? There's going to be challenges, and by God's grace, I'm going to overcome those challenges. And so what do? You know the story. They uncover the roof. They kind of take the roof apart. They go up there. Scripture doesn't say they ask the owner for permission. These people were very intent on getting this guy to Jesus. They uncover the roof. They lower the guy down, and Jesus sees the faith of the four, and he heals this individual of their sickness. What challenges do you face when it comes to getting people to Jesus? Some people say, well, you know what? I'm kind of shy. I'm kind of a shy person. God knows that. And God can use shy people to get people to Jesus. You know, we're doing everything we can to give you opportunity to obey the Lord and getting people to Jesus. You come on a Saturday and you say, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable going door to door. Okay, here's a new move-in. Oh, you feel uncomfortable talking to new move-in? All right, tell you what, can you take this flyer and just put this flyer on somebody's door? Can you take this list of names and pray for these people that the Lord will open their hearts as we put flyers on the door? Can you take your phone or your computer and push a little button that has a thumbs up and says boom or share that? You see, we're trying to make it easy for all of us. Sometimes we make things more complicated than they need to be, don't we? We make things more. We think, oh no, what are we going to do? I tell you, their challenges are going to come. The devil wants to do everything he can to keep people from getting saved. He blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We're not to do what? We're to let our light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine. You see, what does that mean? What does it mean for you? You see, the way that God, the opportunities that God gives me may not be opportunities that God gives you or you, but God gives every one of us opportunities that as a church, we can bring people to Jesus. Now, where are our senior saints? We have our senior saints meeting. I have a story for you senior saints that you are going to love, all right? It's a story about a man that was 61 years old. Maybe you've heard the story. He was a 61-year-old that showed up in the 1983 Westfield, Sydney to Melbourne. This was in Australia, an ultra marathon. You say, what is an ultra marathon? An ultra marathon is a 544-mile race. This guy showed up in his first ever pair of running shoes. He had windbreaker pants with cut holes for ventilation. He picked his number, popped out his false teeth, and stepped into line with a group of young nylon-clad super athletes waiting to start the race. The spectators, the staff, the athletes kind of laughed at this guy. They were kind of confused, what in the world is this guy doing, and how is this guy going to compete against professional athletes who had carefully trained for this five-day race? Cliff Young was a potato farmer. He was a shepherd. He gained endurance chasing thousands of sheep across his family farm in overalls, boots. He also lived with his mother still at 61. He did get married after this race. I'll tell you about that if I remember. I shouldn't tell you about this. He married a 23-year-old wife. In any event, don't get any ideas, senior saints, all right? When the race started, Young left just like everybody else, but his stride wasn't even a stride. It was more of a shuffle. His experience was different than those around him. He told reporters that he grew up on a farm and he couldn't afford horses or tractors. And so when storms would roll in, he said, I'd have to go out and round up the sheep. We had 2,000 sheep on 2,000 acres. Sometimes he said, I'd have to run those sheep for 2 or 3 days. It took a long time, but I'd always catch them. He said, I believe I can run this race. Accepted approach to the race was that runners would run 18 hours a day, sleep for 6 hours a night. When professionals laid down for the evening, Cliff Young just kept shuffling along. When they awoke the next morning, Young had covered serious mileage. His competitors were certain he couldn't keep it up for the entire 544 miles, but Young kept gaining ground. He eventually overtook the entire pack, gaining leads while they slept that even the slickest of sponsored young runners couldn't close. By the time Young crossed the finish line, he was 10 hours ahead of the second place finisher. He received $10,000 for first place and gave away $7,000 of it to the other competitors. He said, that's a lot of potatoes. 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes beat the record for running between Sydney and Melbourne by more than 2 days. A record-setting champion, 61 years old. Eventually, it says he married a 23-year-old girl. We forget about that part of the story. The reality is what? Here's this individual, didn't sleep for 5 days to run a race. I thought about the endurance, thought about his determination to say, hey, I can do this. And the old guy beat all the trained young athletes when they were making fun of him. You think about the things that we allow ourselves to keep us from bringing people to Jesus. I believe that God would have every one of us I know many of you have already. I know many of you have already invited folks. And let me encourage you to keep inviting folks, all right? I believe that God would have every one of us to be committed to getting folks to Jesus, especially great opportunity next Sunday morning. All right, the lunch is free. We'll give you all the materials you need. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me opportunities to be part of this? The Bible doesn't tell us about these four. I know these four were probably pretty excited. Everyone was excited, verse 12, what Jesus did. We never saw it on this fashion. They were amazed and they glorified God. What if these four decided it wasn't important? If they decided, hey, there's more stuff. There's stuff that's more important. We're too busy. We wouldn't read this wonderful story where God showed himself strong. The key, their faith. You may be here tonight, and maybe your prayer is this: Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's okay. God knows your heart. We have a tendency to focus on our own weaknesses instead of focusing on God's strength. What if whoever told you about Jesus didn't? What if they were too busy? What if they were too preoccupied? What if it wasn't that important to them? Where would you be? It might be that we'd be on our way to hell. Thank God for the individuals that cared about enough about us and enough faith to say, I'm going to bring you to Jesus. May God give us that faith to bring other people to Jesus. Jesus will make the difference. Let's bow.